This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective, with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change. Without passion and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Welcome back once again. It's another edition of Turnbuckle Trash. Today it's going to be a duo because it's going to be myself, the one and only, the original, the one who is so pretty. I am Dave Denton, the doctor of whatever I am. And joining me right now, Shane O'Mac. Shane, get out the whipping needles or do something. You need to punish me, my man.
Well, as you said, welcome back. Welcome back, my friend, to the show that never ends.
Ladies and gentlemen, Emerson Lake.
Or it could be the greatest show on earth. This is the greatest show.
Is that the movie?
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's pretty good. I'd recommend it.
How about Welcome Back, Mr. Cotter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're doing a lot of welcome back things, aren't we?
Yes.
I must apologize to you directly right here on the podcast because you, I, and Chris had a wonderful conversation right after WrestleMania. I thought it had it all recorded, and once again, the old man screwed up.
Oh, Dave. You know, it's okay. I will forgive you.
But will Jackson forgive me, your child?
He loves you, dude.
Same way here.
Dude, hey, I got to tell you something real quick.
Okay, go for it.
So, I haven't made it back to Walmart, but I do got to get back there, but I do have a surprise for you.
A surprise?
A surprise. Guess what I found for you at Wally World.
What did you find, he said, at Wally World?
Do you want me to spoil it or do you want it to just show up in the mail?
Why don't we just show it up in the mail? Then I'll take pictures of my shocked, surprised face, put it on the Facebook page, and then we'll talk about it at the next pod, huh?
Okay. You do that. Huh? And I'll make sure when we get done with the pod, you text me your address for the 47th time.
Okay, will do. I always have to do that with your telephone number and your email, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we did have a death in the wrestling family. One of the all-time greats. A lot of people say the greatest heavyweight champion of all time, Mr. Bruno Sammartino, passed away this week in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. His family was around him. I didn't get to see him much wrestle. I did see him a few times, but I do know this. He was a mat wrestler, and he was basically a very incredible human being. Great story behind him.
Hmm. So where did you see him at?
I saw him a few times when I would be able to get some of the wrestling from the Northeast on tapes and things like that. I think once he did a little tour through the NWA territory where I was. I didn't get to see him live, but I saw him on some some tapes and some things like that. But I best remember him as an announcer. Just a little bit into the ring. But when you think about his story, he was born in Italy right before World War II. Mussolini was in control of the country. And of course, during World War II, Adolf Hitler and the Nazis kind of turned on Italy, and they actually invaded Italy. Bruno Sammartino and his mother went to hide in the mountains. And they survived in the mountains while his mother and some of the other people would go into this little town knowing that they were being searched for by the Nazis to steal food or try to get food for everybody. And his family made it through the war, made it to the United States in 1950. He was being picked on because he was really scrawny. I mean, he didn't have much of a childhood to eat and, you know, gain his bones. So he started working out, and he actually set a world record in powerlifting at one time. And that kind of led him into the world of professional wrestling.
Hmm.
An incredible, incredible story.
Well, another legend gone with the wind, huh?
And he had some problems with the WWE. A lot of people were concerned that he would never be inducted into the Hall of Fame because he had some legal issues. He had some personality issues with them because of the Attitude Era, in part. He didn't like the way wrestling was going at that time. Very, very critical. Then in 2013, he did become part of the WWE Hall of Fame. A great man and an incredible story. If you ever get a chance to really read up on that story, you will be more than impressed. He passed away this week.
Hmm. Yeah, it says that in 2013, he was inducted in the WWE Hall of Fame.
To be inducted into an Hall of Fame, of course, it's extremely special. But to happen here in Madison Square Garden, I have a quiet history in this building, and I'd like to share a little bit of it with you. For one thing, I'm extremely proud that I headlined Madison Square Garden more time than anyone in the history of Madison Square Garden. But those 24 years, 25 years, as these guys can tell you, they take a great toll on your body. In fact, might have been even a little tougher in my day because they had those crazy boxing rings, and those things were like concrete. They had to be reinforced with steel posts underneath because fighters, they wouldn't lose their footings. And when you're getting body slammed and all these other crazy things that you go through, after time and time and time and year after year after year, you pay a price. I was a guy who wouldn't even take an aspirin or any kind of a painkiller or anything like that. I just sucked it up, as the old saying goes, and I kept on going. But I reached a point where I just felt like the body couldn't continue. And it was time for me, and I had to start thinking of getting out. But there again, I was such a very lucky guy, because with all these injuries, and I was in pain 24 hours a day, happy to be home, but suffering all the time. And then, you know, there were two gentlemen there. They've come here from Pittsburgh. These two gentlemen worked miracles. They saved I don't know how many lives with their magic, because they're so great at what they do in the medical field. And they made so much better quality of life for so many people. And when they took me on with all these things, I required over maybe eight major surgeries. That I'm very grateful for tonight, for Arnold, for the WWE, who sees me worthy of this honor, and the opportunity to have appeared in Madison Square Garden one more time. I'm very grateful for that.
Hey, MSR.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, do you like geeky things?
I love geeky things, Chunky Larry.
How much do you love geeky things?
I would say at least a 7.
A 7? That's
yeah.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
I mean, I have a few places on the internet I go to.
Well, the one place you want to go on the internet is geeksoftheindustry.com, because it's got geeks at the beginning.
Oh, that's a good point. Geeksoftheindustry.com, you say. What is that about? What is that?
Well, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got cartoons, movies, music, video games, wrestling. You know, anything that's geeky that you're into, you'll probably be able to find at geeksoftheindustry.com.
I can watch all of those things?
No, no, no. It's a podcast website. You listen to things.
Oh.
Ooh, podcasting. You can download them from the website, or you can, you know, subscribe to one of the shows on Stitcher or iTunes.
What was that website again?
That's geeksoftheindustry.com, my good friend.
I'm going to go right now.
Yeah, sorry, my brother. You've got to get your own.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You know what day today falls on? What day is today?
Rusev Day!
What day is today?
Rusev Day!
What day is today?
Rusev Day!
Every single day.
is Turnbuckle Trash.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
Back at Turnbuckle Trash, we had a wonderful conversation that I messed up with Zane about his thoughts at WrestleMania. Zane, here is your platform. What you liked and what you didn't like about
me. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. You know, it's I vented all my frustration to you the other day on the phone.
I know.
So how can I reenact that?
Well, let me ask some questions then.
Okay.
For reenactment purposes only, because the comments you heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being, and I prove it every day. But, Zane, I want to talk real quickly about what you thought was the best match of the night.
Mm.
WrestleMania.
Now, like you said before, this is an opinion, and we know what our opinions are, and we are just fans. We are not professionals, nor do we claim to be. So, from this fan's point of view, I would say Charlotte and Asuka was my favorite match.
You and I together, man, we both picked that one. So that was a good, fun match to watch, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Man. I thought that Asuka was going to retain the streak.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't.
Were you shocked by that?
Oh, a little bit.
I was, too. But I thought the storytelling was incredible in that. I just really enjoyed it. And then, you know, of course, Charlotte had to drop the belt two nights later.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think kind of ticked off Ajay, but...
Dude, why? I thought that was great.
Ajay is in love with Charlotte.
I thought he had
Don't
a wife.
Don't tell his wife. He does, but he's in love with Charlotte.
Dude, we disagree on that, because I thought that... Dude, I am honestly... I like Charlotte a lot, too, but they've propped her up pretty... for quite a long time. It's time to give... you know, some feuds and let's stir things up a little bit, you know.
Uh-huh.
She's held the belt for a long time, too.
And Carmella did a great job with that Money in the Bank.
That was hilarious, dude.
Yeah.
She comes running down screaming, and the ref's going, "Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure?" Ring the bell! Ring the bell! Are you sure?
And then Corey Graves was going bananas. Hey, what's this referee doing? Doesn't he know? He's been here for 20 years. It was great.
Get the match started.
Yeah. So we do have a new women's champion on SmackDown side. And by the way, we will be talking more about the superstar takeover in just a little bit. But here's the big Braun Strowman in the room. What did you think of the final two matches? We need a fan's attention.
Sorry, Dave. I was just gagging a little bit because you mentioned the last two matches of WrestleMania, and kind of upset my stomach a little bit. Hey, let's pretend. How about let's pretend? It's time for make believe.
Okay,
let's just pretend that the last two matches don't exist, and that the Andre of Giant Battle Royale was the last match instead of the first match.
Okay.
What would that do for the space-time continuum?
Well, it'd probably mess it up like they do on The Flash all the time. So it was bad. So we're just going to – you want to drop it then? Or you want –
do we – the crowd reaction in the last match said it all. I mean, this is boring. This is awful.
Throwing beach balls.
Yeah. It was, you know, and then, you know, the gloves come off. And he, you know, it was the Randy Orton match all over again when he busted Randy open.
Oh, man.
So I have a question for you, though.
Yes, sir.
On the Stone Cold podcast, he says, you know, there's a little too much blood. And when I'm saying there's a little too much blood, that, you know, was there too much blood?
Well, they only showed one or two little glimpses that I can remember.
Exactly.
And his face was just, I mean, it was the crimson mask, you know. It was bloody mess.
Mm-hmm.
Bucks. If a guy didn't get cracked open, he wasn't really wrestling.
I come from the era where people were getting bloodied up all the time, you know, so I didn't think it was too much.
I thought it was kind of stupid the way it went down, you know, when he, like, you know, punches him and all of a sudden he's bleeding. I mean, did Roman cut or did he really bust him open?
Boy, that's a tough one. I don't know what to tell you about. If he bladed himself, then he bladed really deep, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He did have 30 staples put into his head.
Well, you know, they said that when he elbowed Randy Orton in the head, that Randy Orton was okay with that. And I don't know. That was a weird deal to me.
Yeah, it was. It was really, really strange. And then to have them doing this thing they're doing in Saudi Arabia on Friday the 27th. And then putting him back into a steel cage with Lesnar. I just don't know where this is going, where this particular you would think that it would have ended at WrestleMania. Will it end in Saudi Arabia on Friday the 27th?
I don't know. I don't understand that pay-per-view either. I don't. That's one thing. That gets me a little bit frustrated. I mean, they've got a completely stacked card for, you know, they always do all those shows in Saudi Arabia and India, and they, like, bring all the superstars down there, and they have these huge stacked cards and these great big events, and it's like, why can't we get a decent event in Vegas or in the West or somewhere where we can go see it? You know, I'd love to go see SummerSlam if it was close, you know?
Yeah.
Something like that. I mean, why do they cater so much to those events like that?
Money.
Is there a lot of wrestling fans in India and in, you know?
Yeah. India is wrestling crazy. India, Japan. I'm not so sure about Saudi Arabia. I don't know how they react to the wrestling fans over there. Of course, last year you had the first women's match over there. Sasha Banks went against Little Miss Bliss, but they didn't have their regular outfits on in accordance to the Muslim culture over there.
Mm-hmm.
But evidently they had a huge turnout. And then if you've got the money backing from some of the – I mean, there's some extremely wealthy people over there. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to open up that market a little bit more, I guess. I mean, a 50-man Royal Rumble, 50 people?
Hmm.
Are they going to do it every 2 minutes again, or are they going to do it every minute? I haven't heard.
Yeah, or is it going to be 7 hours again, or what?
Yeah, it's going to be forever. I think our time, if I can remember right, and I'm doing this off the top of my head, no notes, I believe it's going to start at 11 a.m. here in the Mountain West where we live. And it should go 5, 6, 7 hours, probably closer to 7 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just going to be a huge card. I'm sure that part of that first 2 hours, once again, is going to be their stupid pre-show, which still just anyway, I wasted 2 hours on Mania on that. Mm-hmm. But
well, let's just agree, because I know we'll agree that NXT was better.
Oh, did you see the entire card?
Yeah, I did fall asleep in a little bit of it, but I did see it. It was awesome, dude.
It was incredible.
That ladder match was unbelievable.
One of the best ladder matches you'll ever see, yeah. Wasn't it?
Tell me about what's he won the North American Championship.
Oh, Adam Cole,
baby.
Well, of course, he was a huge star in the ROH wrestling promotion. Actually was at one time a member of the Bullet Club. And when he signed with NXT, it made big news because he was one of the up-and-coming stars internationally. Wrestled a lot in Japan, did ROH shows. He was their champion for a while. had a great feud with Jay Lethal, and then he joined the Bullet Club. And as the Bullet Club is liking to do when one of their performers is leaving their last match, they turn on him and they beat the you-know-what mm-hmm. out of him. That's kind of like a good luck to you, now get out of our face. But Adam is not the biggest man in the room. I mean, he's, you know, he's normal size. And, you know, this sounds funny of me saying, he's a good-looking man, but he has the mic skills. He has the ring psychology. I think he'll be up in WWE main roster next year sometime. Yeah. I bet he'll be there. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. You know who else was made a surprise debut that night?
Oh, Ricochet. Mm-hmm. Man, was he awesome in that ladder match or what?
Dude, you know, we've talked about that so many times on the podcast. Why does somebody like that go in and go to the NXT, you know? I mean, why is he not right up on the main roster? I mean, for crap's sakes, the guy's been around the world. He's, I mean, done so much. I'm so confused sometimes.
The WWE ego gets in the way sometimes of knowing that Ricochet would have made a huge splash just coming up to the main roster. But last year, when we were talking about Ricochet a lot, when he was in, he actually said he didn't think he was ready for the WWE at that time.
Really?
And I thought, man.
Dude, I mean, I thought he was incredible. From the first season of Lucha Underground to as you watched him throughout the seasons of Lucha Underground, dude, every year he would just get better and better and better.
He's a great performer, and he's one of those kind of like a Chris Jericho. He can do the high flying, but he can also grapple. He can fight, and he's had some incredible matches when he was being Prince Puma and Lucha Underground. Just incredible stuff. So,
but yeah, all in all, I mean, it's over. It was a good event. You know, I got to watch wrestling, and any time I get to watch wrestling is a positive. But you know, it was a little long, and I think that it was just kind of like a glorified normal pay-per-view. I mean, WrestleMania had some decent matches, you know, had some good quality entertainment, if you will, but I just felt that it was a little bit. I mean, where was the greatest sports entertainment event of the year? You know, I was like, okay, I'm waiting for WrestleMania. Where's WrestleMania? Yeah, it was a good pay-per-view, and it was had some good matches and some good stuff. But I'm like, when are we gonna like get to the meat and potatoes here? When's
the
main course?
When's
the main course coming? When's the surprises? What's going on? And it just kind of all of a sudden it was over. You know, it was
It was just like
Brock busts Roman open, gives him an F5, and pins him, and it was like, what? Where was the build up? Where was the, you know, there was just nothing there.
Yeah, there was no storytelling really in that final match. It just didn't tell.
And
a
the
good
second
story
to last match, I mean, that'll go down in the Turnbuckle Trash history books is probably one of the worst creative decisions of the century.
I even said on the last, I said, it's as bad as Vince Russo's decision to put the belt on David Arquette.
Yeah. Well,
that was, both
you got to think
stupid.
What, like, when we were talking on the phone the other day, and we've talked about this, we've texted back and forth a little bit, how fair, and I know life's not fair, whatever, and it's a show, and it's creative, but a guy like Cesaro and guys like Sheamus that have done such a good job, And Cesaro's such a powerhouse. I mean, he's probably one of the strongest guys in the WWE right now. I mean, we've seen him when he does that, when he throws him up in the air and does those Swiss uppercuts. And I mean, the guy is just strong. I mean, they call him the Swiss Superman, you know, because he's just so amazingly talented. And to have him lose to Braun Strowman was kind of a foolish thing. And they're like, you know, and I understand, they got to make Braun look like he's unstoppable and like he doesn't need a partner and he can do it all himself. And it's like, why?
Why?
You know.
Why? It made no sense.
It really did make zero sense. And I mean, what happened to Braun Strowman going after Brock? I mean, that was a strange lane change there when they, you know, they're hyping all this stuff up. They have some good quality qualifying matches, and then like all of a sudden now he's going for the tag team titles. And he's out of the main event picture, but yet he's kind of still in the main event picture. It really is. I'm a little bit confused by it, but I try not to put too much thought into it.
You know, if we try to make sense of some of the decisions, we're not in the back room. We're not with the creative staff. And, you know, frankly, I from what I understand, Vince has to sign off on all these things. And I'm not sure he was really happy with what happened in the last, because there's the reports that Vince and Brock had an argument right after WrestleMania, where Brock actually threw the belt against the wall and almost hit Vince, and Shane stood up looking like he was wanting to fight. And this all I don't think it was on camera, if I can remember right. So it's just a report at this time. And is it a work? I don't think so, but it could be.
Anything's possible, you know, and quite frankly, the sooner Bobby Lashley dumps Brock Lesnar on his head and they move on with life, the better, because I'm so tired of Brock. And I think the fans are getting tired of Brock too, because, you know, there's so many other guys on the roster right now that I would much rather see the belt on than Brock, than so many other people that deserve it too.
Yeah. But for some reason, Vince thinks that his main draw for the WWE brand is Brock Lesnar.
I don't get it.
That's in his head. I don't get it.
And I mean, my mind goes back to when Samoa Joe was taking on Brock. I mean, that's when I think it should have changed hands, because I would rather see somebody like Samoa Joe have the belt than Braun Strowman, because Samoa Joe deserves it. You know, he's been in how many different promotions, and he's been around the world for how many. And the guy is, I mean, for such a big guy, I mean, he is so, moves so good. And I love watching him when they turn him loose and let him do what he does best. You know, he is so good.
And he'll get the other wrestler in the corner, and then he'll do that backflip and kick him in the head.
And you know, and if it's the anti-hero they're going for, Samoa Joe's perfect for that role. You know, he doesn't have to be a heel. He doesn't have to be a face. He just has to be a badass. And he is.
Uh-huh. You know? That's what he is. Oh, he is.
I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that, I mean, you could have some excellent feuds, like, you know, two big guys like Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens going at it. I mean, talk about some. There's so much potential there, and Brock is just so awful in the ring. I mean, all he does is suplex after suplex after suplex, and it's so redundant and so boring.
And you know he can do other things. He was a collegiate All-American wrestler,
and you know,
so he knows how to grapple.
And he went to the same fetching school at the same time that John Cena and Randy Orton and Dave Bautista and all those guys did. And they all can put on some pretty decent matches.
And did you know this, that his college roommate in college is also a wrestler in the WWE?
I didn't know that. Who is it?
Shelton Benjamin.
Oh, really? I didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they were roommates at one time. Yeah,
I like him.
So, yeah, I want to go back real quick to Samoa Joe because he is such an incredible performer. When he was in TNA, there was kind of a loser leave town gimmick that they were running with Christopher Daniels. And they had this match. It was on TV. And you know when you're watching wrestling and you get to that point where you say, I think that dude is hurt. And I think that dude has just gotten the complete, total, ever-living excrement beat out of him. That was Samoa Joe against Christopher Daniels. I thought he almost killed him in the ring. It was an incredible match. It was, and you know, and Christopher Daniels is also an incredible performer. Mm-hmm. Don't take it just talking about Samoa Joe here, but still, that was when I really got into Samoa Joe.
Well, and, you know, speaking of what you were talking about with injuries, you know, I want to mention when Brock was doing suplexes and they were outside of the ring. And I don't know if you saw the suplex that he did on Roman outside the ring where he tried to do an overhead belly-to-belly. And Roman looked like he didn't quite jump high enough, or Brock might not quite got enough lift on him. And Roman landed square right on his head. And, you know, I thought, how foolish, you know, just to make Brock look tough and make Brock look unstoppable to risk somebody's career. You know, and I'm not a huge Roman Reigns fan. I think that Roman needs to get off TV for a while, and I think that he needs to go back to promo school or something needs to happen. I don't know what needs to happen because there's a lot of people who say, why does everybody hate Roman so bad? Why do they hate Roman so bad? He hasn't done anything but good for the business, and he's so, you know, I don't know. Why does everybody hate Roman so bad, including you and me?
Because they feel like, I think he's, the feeling is he's been shoved down our throats, that Vince is saying, this is who you're going to like. And there's that backlash about that. But I think you came up with a really good idea there just a second ago when you said he needs to be off TV a while. I want you to watch in the next couple of months, I think it's going to be around SummerSlam, when Dean Ambrose makes his first appearance back, that crowd will explode for Dean Ambrose. And I think if Roman was gone for a while, whether he takes a month off, maybe he takes 2 months off for an injury or just to just to take him off TV for a while, that when he came back, he would get a different reaction.
And have him come back and, I don't know, do you throw him right back into the main event picture, or does he come back and go for an Intercontinental title? I mean, or the U.S., you know, what do you do with somebody like Roman Reigns? You know, when you've got guys like Dolph Ziggler and you know, Dean Ambrose and you know, what do you do with somebody like that when there's so much good overstacked talent on the roster? I mean, what do you do with a guy like that? I mean, really think about the roster right now. Is there really anybody that you dislike or that you hate or that you wouldn't want to see in a match, in a good quality match or in a mid card or, you know, is there anybody on the roster that completely sucks right now that you hate?
I can't say that. I just I don't. It's an embarrassment of riches for them. You know, if you want to look at it that way, they have all the top talent, not all the top talent, but most of the top talent in the world. That's the ones that people want to see. And I mean, you and I are just basic wrestling fans. So we also want to see people like Marty the Moth, and we want to see Christopher Daniels and Hangman Page and the Young Bucks and people like that, but your more casual thing. I think it was the MK Bandit last year that said to us that you have wrestling fans that are kind of like us, and then you have WWE fans. That's all they want to see. They want to see Cena. They want to see Roman Reigns. They want to see people like AJ Styles and The New Day. That's who they want to see. That's the people they want to see. They could care less about the Young Bucks. They could care less about the Motor City Machine Guns because they don't know them because they don't really watch a lot of wrestling.
Yeah, and there's so many other good there's so much good stuff out there right now. I mean, a guy could almost make a full-time job out of trying to keep on top of not just your main promotions, but there's so many other rock solid things that are going on. I mean, I see Marty the Moth promoting stuff, you know, all the time in, you know, Mexico and just like, you know, everywhere, you know, just everywhere.
Yeah, and there's the House of Hardcore with MK Bandit there. Tommy Dreamer is also doing a program now on Impact. And I think that's where Impact is kind of going, that they're going to have some of the other promotions come in and do a little program on Impact, and then some of their stars are going to go to, like, the people at House of Hardcore, like Sammy Callahan. And maybe they'll get OVE, the Ohio Against Everything, against you know, some of the people in the House of Hardcore, and doing a little bit more cross promoting that way. Nick Aldis from the NWA showed up at Impact one night, so that is the way they're going to battle. Still have their independent promotions, but kind of sharing a little bit and trying to get people to try out the other products by having somebody like Tommy Dreamer show up on Impact against Sammy Callahan. Interesting stuff, man.
Yeah, a lot of good quality stuff out there just besides the WWE. I mean,
you want to talk about the Superstar Shake-Up?
Ooh, shake it up.
Yeah, let's take a quick break. We'll be back. We'll talk about the Superstar Shake-Up. And as we go into our break, I want to play one more time from the Monday night right after WrestleMania, when Elias was out talking to the crowd and singing to the crowd and called them scumbags. And the reaction from the crowd was perfect. We'll be back with more on Turnbuckle Trash.
Now listen. I am going to perform tonight. Granted, I understand it's essentially the same unappreciative crowd full of scumbags from last night.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at wpfpod@gmail.com. Again, that's wpfpod@gmail.com.